Welcome back to the Power Hour. Our next guest, I was doing a little research. I didn't know a whole lot about him. We like to have new people on. I'm really excited to have him. His name is Christopher Markowski. He, doing some research on YouTube and going back, I mean, years, some of these shows he was doing on Tom Harmon and different things. And he's getting on these shows saying, hey, socialism doesn't work. Socialism is spreading through Europe. It's becoming a cancer. This is a real issue. And us printing the money here in America, we're going to go down the same path and turn into socialism. And the guest was like giving him grief. I mean, this was 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, he's predicting this. Well, here we are now, almost a decade later, and the results of what his predictions certainly are at our doorstep. WatchdogOnWallStreet.com is the website. Watchdog on Wall Street is the website. He is a financial advisor. He's a political commentator. He's a prognosticator, whatever you want to say. I am going to call him guest. Welcome to the Power Hour, Christopher Markowski.
Thank you so much for having me on. You mentioned Tom Hartman. I haven't heard that name in so long. I can't even remember when I went on his program, but I do remember the myriad of death threats that I got into my email box from his nutty listeners. That's for sure.
Well, it was great. I'm sitting here watching this, and it's so funny because, you know, it was the one I watched was, what's 8 years ago now? So I'm watching this, and you're talking about the results of endless printing and what will happen. And oh no, everything's fine. What are you? What's wrong with you, Chris? This is just normal. This is America. Can go on forever like this. What are you out of your mind? And it's hilarious now looking at it 8 years later. Anyway, socialism is a big topic. You talked about it then. You've talked about it now. This is a big word. Millennials, our children, our young people, what have you, they think socialism now is an enticing word. We have candidates openly projecting socialism. How would you define socialism, and why does it not work?
Well, it's the government assuming the means of production. That's the definition. It's unfortunate that a lot of millennials out there basically, what socialism has become, I think the best way I can explain this to your listeners, it's basically 2019's hope and change. It means whatever it wants to mean to that individual at that point in time. Whether you're, you know, equality for gender this or this one can use any bathroom you want, or it's all equal here, and, you know, I'm not as good looking as that one, and that's not fair. It's different for each millennial out there because they don't know. They don't have any idea what it means. They just think that it's fair and it's share, and it's like, you know, soft and cuddly stuff that you learned in kindergarten, for crying out loud. But it's just not how the world works, and it, we all know every single time we've actually tried to apply socialism, which is an economic system, it failed, and it continues to fail all over the globe. I mean, it failed miserably. You take a look at one country after another that's headed down that path, Argentina, Venezuela, you name it. It just doesn't work. And well, you go a little bit further on down the pike, and it turns into communism, and it becomes even more despotic. And not only is it a bad economic system, but it kills a lot of people, too, when you get to that point.
Now, you have been, if I'm not mistaken, one of the longest podcasts on Wall Street in American history, if not the longest. You've been doing this a long time. You've been since the 90s, investment bank. You are right on Wall Street, or been right in the heart of all this. You've seen all this. And I can remember my grandfather growing up. He used to tell me, better dead than red, meaning, you know, socialism was such an abhorrent thing. His generation, communism, socialism, it was so abhorrent to American ideals that it wasn't even a question. And now we've seen this even, you know, I can look in the past 20, 25 years, we've completely flip-flopped on this. What have you noticed on, has Wall Street embraced this? What is the attitude you're seeing, the change where you're staying?
Well, listen, I've been going after the problems on Wall Street for a long time, and my radio show has been on for 20 plus years now. I've been doing this, and even before I had my radio show, I was doing a lot of guest appearances, like I've always done, like I've done now, to talk about these various different topics that are out there. I think what's happened to some degree is that we've had some problems. We don't practice pure capitalism in the United States, and I think that this is part of the issue where we have all these kids thinking socialism is just grand. They don't even know what it is. We have a system. I call it my watchdog on Wall Street axis of evil. Big business, politicians and the mainstream media working hand in hand to further their own needs. I've been talking about that for a while. People might want to call it today the swamp, the deep state, whatever it may be. It's real and it exists. And I understand people's frustration because I've been frustrated with it. When I see a company that's able to set up shop in some area and the local government says, guess what, you don't have to pay any property taxes or you get this break or that break, whatever it may be. How is that right? How is that fair for the small mom and pop business that always has been paying their taxes along the way? And the handouts and the giveaways to these various favored groups and how the laws and rules are written for them, the tax code is written for them, it gets people upset. That's not capitalism. Some people call it crony capitalism. To me, it's not even anything to do with capitalism. It's more socialism than anything else. It's people working with the government. I think that we have issues with how we're doing things here in this country, and that's what I like to highlight.
Now, Amazon obviously has become a behemoth and starting to suck the air out of the room, so to speak, on mom and pop shops, similar to what Walmart did in the 90s and 2000s. Now, Amazon is completely a Wall Street generated product, from my estimation. They were allowed to participate and be in business without making a single dollar for a decade plus, all on the back of Wall Street, all on the back of investors, at the same time undermining mom and pop, who has to make money, who has to compete. Amazon is, to me, is a completely Wall Street creation. And they took advantage of all these little idiosyncrasies you've mentioned, and now they're destroying the very system that supposedly they're trying to uphold. Your estimation of Amazon and its place in all that I just described?
Well, Amazon went public back in the 1990s. And what was the company back then? There was lots of companies like Amazon. Amazon just sold books. And there was companies that sold every CD now. Sold CDs. There was Pets.com that sold pet stuff and pet food online. There was a lot of companies that just didn't make it over that period of time. Amazon was actually able to change its business model over the years and actually do various different other things that made it grow. Now, again, financing coming from Wall Street has helped. But most people fail to realize, you know what Amazon's biggest business is their web services. It's their cloud computing services is bigger than anything else that it does. And most people don't even realize they make a fortune on that. Google does the same service too, but Amazon is huge. They actually have the contract for the federal government in regards to all the cloud computing services. So they make money in other ways as well. As far as changing the dynamic for retail in this country, that's going to always kind of morph and change to some degree, and some retail outlets have shot themselves in the foot by overexpanding at wrong times. And obviously there's been issues in regards to Amazon and whether or not they're not competing fairly with some of the independent sellers that actually go on their platform. And these are things that need to be looked at without a doubt. But certain companies, yes, if they have a business model that people feel eventually is going to make money, they will be able to continue to raise money. You want to do a juxtaposition to WeWork, who just fallen apart right now. So people basically took a look at that thing and said, wait a second, enough's enough here. We don't see how this company is going to make money. You have another company that has never made a dime. There's lots of companies that are around that have never made a dime because people keep throwing money at them. Uber, Lyft, never made any money. Tesla has never made any money. That profitable company. And if people feel that these companies down the road are going to be profitable, they're able to get money. You just don't want to be caught standing up and holding the bag when the music stops if they are unable to do so. And many of these companies, I don't think, will ever be able to.
Let's talk about the banks. You have a lot of experience with the banking industry. We are seeing similar patterns to what happened in 2007, 2008. We're seeing them again. The most prevalent, I would think, would be the repo market. The money wasn't there. The federal government stepped in. Your perspective on that incident?
Well, basically, we're having a little bit of an issue when it comes to the velocity of cash that's out there, and it things get tight, and that's where you have to obviously put more money into the system. It's not like the money's there, it's just getting gobbled up elsewhere.
Hey, Chris, Let me interrupt. Sure. Let me interrupt real quick on that point. Why is there a liquidity crisis? Why is there no money? I mean, money's everywhere. Where has the money gone?
Well, I think banks see that they can put their reserves at the Fed and get a rate of return, which I just think is just absurd. Mm-hmm. And they go ahead and they do that, and then money cannot get into the system like it's supposed to. You got all of these. I mean, it's not nearly as bad here in the United States as it is around the globe, where we've got almost upwards of $16 trillion in debt that's trading at negative interest rates, which has never happened before in the history of the world, which, again, I think is going to be problematic moving forward. But again, these governments have the power to do this because they also tell the rules and make the rules where they say, hey, this pension fund and these insurance companies and all of you people have to hold a certain amount of debt, our debt, because it's government debt, on your balance sheets or in your portfolio. So it's almost like having a gun to certain funds' head saying, listen, you have to buy our stuff, and even though our stuff is actually going to cost you money. And it is. It's absurd.
We've seen, you know, very substantial people passing the idea that there is a new financial system coming, a Bretton Woods 2, a petrodollar 3, or whatever you want to call it, something where this fiat money is going to have to transition to a gold-backed currency, a digital currency. It, you know, we don't really know, but we've seen people float these ideas. Do you see that possibility of something else coming on the horizon?
I think it's a possibility. I just don't know. I mean, in my opinion, I'd much rather go to something that was backed by a myriad of different commodities. I've never been a big one in understanding gold because of its overall usefulness. It's just not that important of a commodity when it comes to industrial production. I think that there's other things that are actually more important today than that. I think it should be included if they were going to go ahead and do something like that. I do think it's going to be difficult, though. I think right now, with how things are, with so much debt sloshing around the world, and especially at these negative rates, I think it's difficult to get governments to stop spending money. The music has to stop. Something bad has to happen in order to force something like that. And again, we've gotten to the point in time where you look at certain countries and the debt, the United States in particular, it's almost like we've become too big to fail.
Well, you said it, the money sloshing around, money. I think this repo market, it may be a backdoor printing to infinity. We may be witnessing the beginning of Weimar Republic of just printing money to infinity, and we don't even realize. I don't know. I don't know. You may have an opinion on that. I don't know. It's very suspicious what we're seeing. You're adding up and putting all these pieces together. We're going to get to the negative interest rates because this is very important. But just let's look local to America. Obviously, the Fed is printing money like crazy. Obviously, we're swimming in debt. Obviously, all these pressures are on. And you mentioned a bad event. How long can this go on? I mean, can we just be like Japan and just go on for days? I mean, what is your feeling?
Yeah, I mean, it can. I mean, as long as people believe in it, it can continue to go. And that's just, the word credit, Latin credere means to believe. And if people continue to, faith in the system, they're going to continue to believe it. Part of the problem that we had in 2008, 2009, and one of the reasons why they instituted the bailout was to bring faith back into the system. It wasn't as bad as the media made it out to be. It got completely out of control. All you needed to do was to get out of the way and just let real estate values come down to what they were supposed to do because they were just out of control, and everything would have been fine. Some banks should have failed, and quite honestly, General Motors should have failed. Somebody would have bought the Cadillac brand, and life goes on. But we don't like dealing with pain that much anymore, and that's a part of that's a part of life. You go to the old Joseph Schumpeter idea with creative destruction. I mean, something is created. Something else is probably going to be destroyed elsewhere. And if you screw something up, there's obviously has to be repercussions in that. You pick yourself up and move on. But nobody likes dealing with that anymore. We constantly look to government to solve our problems. And they're often the times the ones that have caused the problems. I mean, we talk about recessions all the time. But recessions that are usually caused by the Fed and making stupid decisions. I don't even understand their purpose anymore. You let money price itself properly. I'm a financial planner. I've been managing people's money for decades. And, you know, quite honestly, you know, Alan Greenspan and Ben Bernanke and right on down the line, it's like people went into my toolbox in my shed or my garage and took tools away that I used to have to help build portfolios and help people, you know, plan for their future. It's like they took them away. I'm not getting any rate of return on money. CDs aren't yielding anything. Government bonds aren't yielding anything. So I've got to come up with all sorts of other ways of getting safe yields for my clients, and it's difficult. People think that this idea that these ultra-low rates are this wonderful, wonderful thing. Oh, look, I can get a cheap mortgage. Come on, man, give me a break. You know, housing prices go up when mortgage rates go down. It's an inverse relationship. If mortgage rates all of a sudden went back to, you know, let's say, not going to happen, let's say it was 18-19% like it was back in the late 70s, early 1980s, the value of real estate will come down because it's just a function of what people can afford at the end of the day.
You mentioned the housing prices, 2008, 9, 7, whatever, that period. If it was left alone, everything kind of would have stabilized, equal out itself, and we'd have went on. But we didn't. Does that make it worse now? Why didn't we let the housing prices marginalize where they should have?
Well, they did eventually, but what they did is that they did making homes affordable, and then they tried to keep, you know, oh, so-and-so is going to lose, these people are going to lose their home. It's not your home unless you bought the thing. You borrowed the money, okay, you owe the money to the bank, you can't pay them. Well, guess what? I mean, that's why mortgage interest rates are cheaper than credit card interest rates. And we don't have debtors' prisons in the United States. It was all sorts of funky foreclosures, short sales that were going on. But you had people that made a significant amount of money just saying, hey, you know what? I'm out. I'm not going to pay for it. That's it. The value of my house came down in this million-dollar-plus house. I'm not paying for it. Short sale the thing. And, you know, they did. I mean, it's, you know, also the bank took a risk as well by lending out the money. That's part of the system. There's risk involved. The banks took out there's risk involved when they lend you the money. And they obviously had to bear some of that as well. I think things would have gotten much, much better, and we would have rebounded much better then. I mean, you take a look at the Obama years, and it was just, you know, bouncing along the bottom. And, you know, they were still trying to deal with all the regulations that they put forward, and they haven't helped, whether it be Dodd-Frank, whether it be Sarbanes-Oxley, going back to the fall of the dot-coms. We make matters worse instead of better.
I'm going to give you a little story and get your reaction to this. My great-grandmother, she was born in the 1800s, and fortunately, I was able to spend quite a bit of time with her when I was young. And one time I found money in her drawer, you know, just going through, and I said, oh, what? Nana, why do you got all this money in your drawer? And she said, Danny, that money's fine. You leave that money. I said, why don't you have this in the bank? That money's fine right there. She grew up, or she was an adult during the Depression. She saw what happened with the banks, that the money was flooded out there, and then everything was repossessed, what have you, with the banks. She did not trust the banks as far as you could throw them. Going back to what you mentioned, 2008, people borrowing. Banks do not risk any. The concept that banks risk money, all it is credit, belief. It's imaginary. I mean, when we get right down to it, it's ones and zeros on a computer made up out of nothing. The banks risk nothing to loan money on this, and then they manipulate the money and then make the environment so that they take the houses. That's what my great-grandmother believed.
They risk if they own it. If they take the mortgages and they package them and then they sell them off into a security and get some other greater fool to buy that security, that's what they did. They got them off their balance sheet. Some of them didn't. And those are the ones that owning a lot of the paper, like the Lehman Brothers of the world or the Bear Stearns, that ended up going under. But, you know, and some of the other ones got obviously hurt too because they were basically smoking their own supply. You had the government. Well, the government basically gives S&P and Moody's the right to rank or rate all of these securities, which were garbage. They were absolute garbage. Some of the banks knew exactly what they were doing. They knew that they were putting together garbage securities. They were selling them anyway. And not only that, they were betting that they were going to blow up because they knew that they were.
Well, so they were insured. They were also insured, weren't they? Were they not insured also?
Yeah.
So they didn't lose anything.
Some of them were absolutely swell. Yeah.
Okay, so point blank, they didn't lose anything.
This is all legal. This is all legal. Not ethical, but it's all legal.
Yes,
some did lose. on those possessions. Some did lose on all of these things. The issue is you want to solve these problems. And I remember exactly where I was standing when Bill Clinton signed into law repealing Glass-Steagall. All you need to do is you need to break up the big banks. They shouldn't be. If you're going to be a commercial bank, you'd be a commercial bank. I manage people's money, and I'm independent. I don't do investment banking. I don't do anything like that because I have to put my clients' interests above my own. You get away all the conflicts of interest. You break these big banks up, and you're going to be in a much, much better place. But that's not going to happen right now because these big banks are in bed with both Democrats and Republicans, and they write nice big fat checks to all of these people in D.C. to keep things the way that we are. And we're constantly believing the narrative out there that these financial supermarkets are great for us. And this is fantastic. I laugh. You know what I laugh? I see nowadays, I go, oh, look at equity commissions on stock trades are now $0. How do you think these companies are making money? All the cash, some of these companies force you to have a certain amount of money in cash in that portfolio that you have there, and they're not paying you anything on it. And they're taking it, and they're earning the spread, and they're getting 2-2.5% when they go stick it over at the Fed, and they're making the money there. They're ripping you off somewhere else. But America's just too, you know, they don't like seeing this stuff. I call it the conspiracy to keep people poor and stupid. You know, people have got to wake up and understand how the system works.
Just quickly, we got about 30 seconds before the break. What grade would you give Trump navigating all this, what he's done?
Well, you know what? I'm really disappointed. I'll tell you what I'm really disappointed in with Trump right now is in the Republican Party platform in 2016, one of the things that they had in there was they were really looking to break up the big banks. They haven't done that. I wish he would head in that direction. I don't know if it's politically possible. I wish he would. I gave his tax reform a C-plus to B-minus grade. So there's some issue there. Obviously, they didn't do a very good job when it comes to reforming health care and dealing with repealing Obamacare and helping in that issue. But, you know, overall, I think he's doing a pretty good job of what he has and what he's been dealing with.
There you go. There's a break. Christopher Murkowski, watchdogonwallstreet.com is the website. Very interesting, compelling conversation here, buddy. Stay tuned. It's very nice to meet you. And we got more on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. ThePowerHour.com. ThePowerHour.com. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made good for you. Food stores are love to eat. Yum!
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for your support. ThePowerMall.com is a great place to get all the products, your purchases, your donations, your prayers, your energy. This is your broadcast. We don't get a check from George Soros. We don't get a check from, Clear Channel or anything like that. We're not corporate media. We're independent media, independent thought with guests like Christopher on who give their opinion. You know, can you imagine somebody going on Fox or CNN and be able to say some of the things that our guests say? It just doesn't happen. You're just not going to hear it. The narrative is too controlled. Well, it's not controlled here because this is your broadcast. We appreciate your support and your purchases. Please consider even toothpaste, anything. You got it. You have everybody listening has to use toothpaste, I imagine. Buy from the good guys, will you? ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829, ThePowerMall.com. Getting back to our guest, Christopher Markowski from Watchdog on WallStreet.com. I dropped my paper, Chris. Sorry about that. Watchdog on WallStreet.com. We have been tracking the interest rates. Obviously, Trump has been screaming pretty loud for the Fed to lower interest rates and compete with the rest of the world. We've seen other countries have negative interest rate. You can actually get paid to borrow money for a house in several countries now. Explain the environment just so our audience can understand what's going on around the world and what does this mean?
Well, again, Trump is sometimes you try to read him and some of the things that he does and you don't know whether or not he's being serious or he's just, trying to go out there and try to ruffle people's feathers to some degree. And when I think this lowering interest rates thing, I just think he's just going out there to be somewhat vocal. I mean, how much lower can we go? I know that he on several occasions has said, hey, we should go to negative rates too. No, can't do that. I really don't want to do that. You know, one of the reasons why, we're able to borrow so much money is that we actually pay interest here in the United States, unlike many other places around the globe. I don't know if people understand this. Greece. Remember the whole financial crisis there at the Mediterranean countries? Mm-hmm. Greece just no kidding, just issued bonds with negative interest rates. The country was basically falling apart not long ago, and all of a sudden, you, if you want to borrow money from Greece, you got to pay them to borrow it. It's patently absurd. And again, I'm not buying into any of this stuff. To me, this stuff is not real. What we're having happen, this just happens all over the globe. You get these governments, European governments, they're tied into banks. They're tied into financial institutions, insurance companies, pension funds. Now, if you're a pension fund, that's why I have all sorts of pension funds here in the United States that are doing horribly. Insurance companies, you're going to see your rates on insurance go up. Why? Why do you think this is? Well, they used to be able to get a rate of return on their cash and cash equivalents. If you're a pension fund, you cannot be fully invested in stocks because every single month, what do you have to do? You have to pay out all the people that are collecting the pension. And you can't take that type of risk with the entire portfolio because you have to have a certain amount of cash that you can do that. Now, back when they put these things together, you actually got a rate of return on your cash. Now you're not. Which is making it going to be very, very difficult for pension funds, not just here, but all over the globe. But governments understand this and are like, hey, these are the rules that we make, actuarial rules. This is what you have to do in order to be prudent. So you have to buy our debt. And believe it or not, a lot of people, all your listeners, if you got 401ks and if you got various different international funds out there, you might want to take a little look at them, see how much government debt that they own. And you too, you say to yourself, I would never do anything like that. Well, you might be doing it. You might be lending money to governments. You might be lending money to governments and basically paying them to let you borrow the money, and you may not even know it.
Okay, go over this. I mean, I'm baffled. I know you said it. I know it doesn't even seem real. There are countries out there issuing bonds. Explain this for our audience. It just seems so crazy. What is the environment out there? Explain this. This is stupid.
Market is being made by, again, every single month, people have buying certain funds, index funds, pension funds, 401k, and this is all over the globe. And because there's certain rules saying, okay, if I was all of a sudden I'm running a pension fund and I got way too heavy in stocks and there was a market correction, let's say let's go back to December of last year. And the pension fund could get wiped out. And then I cannot pay, at least for that short period of time, going to be difficult to make payments to the people that have to collect these pensions. So you have to keep in cash and cash equivalents in order to be prudent. And government bonds are considered cash and cash equivalents. And
why?
Close to it as far as safe assets are concerned. They're AAA rated. And they
why don't
put
they
that
just
stuff in their portfolios?
Why didn't the pensions just keep it in cash? Why in the world would you put in a negative? So basically, you're saying, so our audience understands, if you buy $100 worth of negative bonds, when it matures, they're going to give you $90 back. You're guaranteed to lose money.
Not 90. I mean, that's a spread. but no, you're guaranteed to lose money unless, of course, the rates go even lower into the negative. And then the bonds that you bought are then worth more, and you can sell those.
What about, why don't they just keep it in cash so it stays at 100?
They obviously have to put stuff to work, and you know what? I would agree with you that they should keep it in cash. But they, various different governments, they make the rules. They, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah.
You know, I buy your debt, you buy my debt. Hey, it's all good.
Okay, so what you're saying is we are coming for a catastrophic problem when all this comes to roost, that the pension funds are not going to be liquid, they're not going to be solvent. I mean, that's what you're telling me, right?
Well, right now, most, you take a look at the amount of pension funds around the United States that are underwater. It's out of control. The state of Illinois has to constantly borrow money, issue debt, just to make their pension funds solvent. I mean, this is all over the country. This is nothing new. There's more issues than just the low interest rates that are causing the problems right now. You're also dealing with the fact that people are living longer and healthier lives. The same problems are running into with Social Security. I predicted this decades ago, and I warned people. I said, listen, don't count on Social Security. Empower yourself. If you even make sure, if you've got a pension, make sure you take a look at that pension. Pensions are already starting to be cut all over the country. I mean, we already know that a lot of them, they've already gotten rid of them because they have no choice. There's a lot of issues that are involved, but the low interest rates is most certainly a part of it, and obviously the fact that people are living longer and healthier lives.
Okay. Back in 08, 09, whatever, the liability of all the actions seemed to be on the heads of the banks. The banks were bailed out. Now, to me, my research, what I'm seeing, and I want to get your opinion.
I cannot do that. I mean, I go after the banks more than anybody. I'm going to disagree with you. You cannot put all the liability on the banks back in 2006, 7, 8, and tonight. You can't. Okay,
Let me clarify. The financial obligation, I agree with what you're saying. I think I know what you're saying. So let me clarify. When push comes to shove, the financial obligation, the financial burden rested on the banks. That's kind of what I'm saying. Would you feel that as accurate or mostly accurate?
What do you mean? I'm misunderstanding. The financial burden for what?
When they had to bail out the banks, when the banks needed to be bailed out because of liquidity, mm-hmm. because of all the real estate and the derivatives that they did, how would you describe it then?
Well, not all of them needed to be bailed out. That's not true. Some of them didn't need to be bailed out at all. Some of them actually helped out with the entire system, like when J.P. Morgan. Hey, I'm not cheering on J.P. Morgan at all, but they were kind of like, hey, you guys buy up Bear Stearns. And also when Bank of America, the government said, hey, listen, you better buy Merrill Lynch and you can get this stuff done now. And they bought these things off and they bought them off and they shouldn't have because they were going to go much lower. They had bad deals on that. However, they were backstopped. And this is the problem now. Banks are too big to fail. We're not a capitalist society when there are companies that are too big to fail. It's not fair. It's not right. Companies have to be able to fail in a system because the whole idea is somebody has to build a better mousetrap. But the entire financial episode back at that point in time wasn't the banks, just the banks' fault. It was also people decided, hey, I want to go out and buy 5 or 6 pre-construction condos because I want to be the next Donald Trump.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Let me clarify, Chris. That's not what I'm saying. At the end of the day, the financial obligation was put onto the banks' backs. That's what I'm saying.
For the homes and everything like that?
Yes, yes.
Taxpayers too. I would say the taxpayers, we took a chunk of that too because we lent them a lot of money.
Okay, well that's a good way to put it. Okay. But the that's why they were bailed out. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Anyway, let's move on from that. I basically agree with what you're saying.
The whole episode is it's complex as all, and there's a lot of people, everybody likes to say, okay, we got to always find a single boogeyman, but in that situation, there were a few.
No, I'm not looking for a boogeyman. I'm looking about where the responsibility went when the rubber met the road. Here, let me put it in context of this question. Maybe that'll help you understand.
Okay.
Right now, you're talking about the negative interest rates everywhere. You're talking about pension funds, insurance companies. That means Main Street America. That means you and me, we have pensions. We have, you know, your neighbor has insurance policy, what have you. So instead of the banks needing to be backstopped, now that liability, if push comes to shove, if it breaks, the person who's going to bear the responsibility is going to be Main Street America. And I don't think anybody's backstopping them. That's what I'm trying to pose to you.
The insurance companies, basically what's going to happen is premiums are going to have to go up. That's what's going to happen. You're going to pay a higher price. When the reality is, it's been offset to some degree because, again, people are living longer, and if you have an insurance policy, obviously, you know, the longer you live, the better off it is for the insurance policy because you're making the premium payments longer. But people who bought a lot of the variable policies back during the 1980s are in trouble right now. They're having to come up with these enormous premiums because of some of this and these low interest rates that are out there. You have to pay higher premiums. There's a cost that's involved with that. Pension funds, yeah, they've been breaking down. I mean, already you're going to see at some point in time, you're going to start seeing some of these municipalities say, we can't afford it anymore. Bail out our pension funds, America, whether it be, I don't know who's going to be first. It's going to be, you know, maybe Orange County, California. I don't know. Maybe it'll be Chicago.
Chicago
is probably a good bet.
Well, GE has already shut down some of their pension funds and trying to buy out of the new people coming on. That's a big corporation, not a municipality, but like a municipality. What will happen when that does occur. So say Chicago does, hey, we need this bailed out. What do you think will happen?
What you'll probably see is you'll see them go to the federal government and they'll say, well, you bailed out the banks. You bailed out General Motors. Why not the taxpayers should bail out this too? And then once that happens, everyone else is going to do the same thing. Why be responsible? Why be responsible if we could throw it on the taxpayers' back?
You said, you know, you taught me something today about credit coming from a Latin word means belief. I love that. So at that point, whatever shred of belief or confidence in the system, the good faith and credit of the United States government, at that point, I would have to believe that the good faith and credit of the United States government, these municipalities, goes out the window.
Well, I think a lot of the municipalities, we've seen it already, people don't trust them to that great of a degree. Something that happened recently. What happened in Puerto Rico? You had all these big banks say, hey, buy Puerto Rican bonds. Oh, they're triple tax free. And I'm saying to myself, are you out of your mind? You have people leaving that island like crazy. There hasn't been any economic growth. I don't care what the rating agencies are telling you. I don't care what Merrill Lynch or JP Morgan is telling you. They're not going to be able to make good on this. They blew up.
So the banks.
And there's risk involved. You know, the banks, the investors. There's risk involved when you purchase something. And you decide to go out, I don't care what it says. That's why it's paying a rate of return. If it's paying a rate of return, there's risk involved with it. So you got to know, say, hey, wait a second here. What is my risk that's involved? And that's what you have to do. That's what I do. You weigh risk and reward with certain situations. And many of these bonds and many of these municipalities, listen, I don't see how in the world, how are they going to, how much more are they going to tax the people in Illinois and Chicago? They were just going to leave, like they have been. You know, people leave. They're moving to Florida. They're moving to Texas. They're getting out. You know, there's only so much people can take.
You mentioned risk reward, and we're seeing now that the rewards are going down. The risk is overwhelming. Counterparty risk to every contract, counterparty risk to every purchase. Something with no counterparty risk is gold and silver. What place does gold and silver play in your investment strategy right now?
Any type of commodities, metals, things like that, we kind of trade them in regards to ETFs and use them as a bit of a hedge from time to time. And that's how we end up, handling that as a part of our portfolio. And it's nothing more, nothing less. I for most of my portfolios, I am always looking for something that pays me to hold it. I'm very big with dividends. To me, compounding is a royal road to riches. I love having a portfolio that's paying me on a regular basis. They've got companies in there that are making money, that are putting money in every single month. I like taking those profits, and that's basically how we look at things.
Do you have a tip for people, maybe something that they can look at, or just, I'm not looking for you to give all your secrets away, but just a little something.
Here's the best tip you're going to ever get. Don't ever listen to tips. Ever. Okay. I'm a financial planner, and we've got clients all over the world, all shapes, all sizes, and not a single portfolio is the same because everyone's situation is unique and different. I can't come on and say buy this or sell this or do this because it might be the risk model might not be right for you, and it's not the right thing to do. It's kind of look at it this way. If I was a brain surgeon and somebody called into your show and they asked, hey, doc, I got this headache, a little bit towards the back, and I was to all of a sudden recommend brain surgery, you'd know I was a hack because I had to do all of the procedures and tests and things to look into that. It is something that you have to get done, and you have to get done the right way. There are no tips.
The good answer, Chris. That was good. we're seeing civil unrest or some form of it. I mean, Hong Kong, France, the Yellow Vests. People are not happy pretty much all over the world in different spots. You can find some sort of quote unquote civil unrest in America. Not the same degree. What do you see? What does that mean? Is that coming to a theater near us here in America?
We have it from time to time. There's nothing wrong with people. I'm going out there and protesting things. I think that's fine. If you choose to do so, just don't break anything. Don't ruin anybody else's livelihood or try to destroy someone else's business. That's an awful thing to do. I think there are different things around the globe that people are protesting. It's kind of interesting. It's easy for the media. Again, they want people, unrest all around the globe. Well, the unrest in Hong Kong is a lot different than the unrest in France. Completely different. What happens when you start giving people stuff for an extended period of time, they end up becoming addicted to that stuff. And again, Thatcher said it best, socialism's great until you run out of other people's money. And you keep asking for more and more and more, and it ends up becoming unsustainable.
And now your gas some of the is $10 a gallon or whatever.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen. You know, down in California, you know, everybody's complaining. Gavin Newsom just wanted to have an inquiry into the high gasoline prices there. And it's obviously everybody knows why they're high there, because of all the regulations and taxes. But It wasn't long ago we had the Energy Secretary of the United States, Stephen Chu, who was under Barack Obama, said he wanted our gasoline prices commensurate with Europe's. You know, since that point in time, you take a look at all the, you know, we're an energy independent country right now. I mean, we've got a lot going on. There's a lot of really great stuff going on here in the United States. You know, you think about all the unrest that we've had in the Middle East. Imagine if that happened, all the stuff that happened back in the 1970s or 80s, where oil prices would be.
You say energy independent. Now, we do buy quite a bit from Canada, do we not?
Yeah.
Oil. Again, I'm talking about oil. Oil.
Well, it's part of long-running contracts. If we wanted to, we pump, you know, we also ship it out, too. Part of the problem we have right now in the United States is our inability to get energy from point A to point B. We're not putting the pipelines in, and that's a major issue. Believe it or not, because of pipeline issues that we have in New England and the Northeast, we're getting natural gas. Look, by natural gas from Russia. Does that make any sense at all? It doesn't.
No.
We cannot get out of our own way. That's our problem. Stupid rules and regulations. People don't understand how expensive things are here in the United States just because of rules and regulations and the costs and how things are slowed down. Complaining about pipelines, that is the safest way of moving gas and oil. Why would you not rather want to move it by a pipeline rather than truck or rail? It just doesn't make any sense. But we don't get these things done because everybody thinks that those things that are powering our calculators are going to save the country.
Well, some people do have a point. They try to put these pipelines through aquifers. I mean, I'm with you, but don't put the pipeline near an aquifer. I mean, go around an aquifer.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree.
You know, in case there is a problem, because they do leak. They all leak.
Yeah.
I mean, to say that they don't leak is ridiculous, because they all leak, whether small or, more. Anyway, one of the things you put in the show notes was about Mitt Romney. You had a point about him. What is Mitt Romney's deal? What's his problem?
Listen.
You sound like me with him.
I have a big problem with the Republican Party. I left the Republican Party, I don't know, a couple decades ago. I can't remember how long ago, because first they have no spine. They never do what they say that they're going to do.
I agree.
I'm a big Ron Paul, Rand Paul. Rand Paul was my guy last election. Ron Paul was my guy, the guy before that. It's just, you know, these are people that, you know, okay, you know, Barack Obama's president, and we're going to start doing something about government spending. Now, nah. We got the credit card, so we're just going to spend like crazy. Mitt Romney is that old line Republican. You want to put it in terms of Caddyshack. He's like the Ted Knight crew of Caddyshack.
Judge Smales.
And Donald Trump is, Judge Smales and Dr. Beeper and all those guys there. And Donald Trump is Ronnie Dangerfield. He's Al Cervic. They don't want him there at the country club. They don't like him. He's not one of them. And that's just how it is.
Well, that's funny. A lot of people are predicting if the civil unrest grows, if the financial system shows more cracks, we're going to see even more immigration. America will start to see South America flood up here. What role does immigration, especially in Europe, play in all this?
I think immigration is great. My grandparents came from Poland. I got grandparents that came from Italy. The problem we have in this country is we don't assimilate right now. We're not doing a good job of assimilating people coming into this country. And
why?
We're creating
Why do you think that is, Chris? Why? Why don't people assimilate?
It's out of control. There's just too many that are coming in. We're not able, to handle the situation. You're giving stuff away. like crazy. And again, you know, American citizenship should be something that is valued. I don't think it's even valued. I think many of our kids take it, you know, for granted. It's a whole conversation for another day and how important that I think it is. But we haven't been able to do that. I mean, my mother, they didn't want her speaking Italian in the house. They wanted her speaking. They wanted her to learn the language. It's a language of success. And if you don't do that, you know, we're creating an underclass. You know, we like the people's kids who are picking vegetables today to be tomorrow's doctors and business owners. And that's how our country has grown and made us strong. But if we're unable to do that, if we can't assimilate people to our society and understand what our culture is, we're going to have a problem. And I see this. I've got clients that are involved in education, school teachers, and they'll tell you that you say, hey, listen, you know, we're told by our principal that we're just going to be a certain group of kids that are going to be in our classrooms where their parents don't care. You know, we've got this whole idea about privilege now. They talk about white privilege. I laugh. I'm doing college tours with my son now at various different schools, and we're doing recruiting trips for his sport and meeting with these college coaches at these great schools. And I look at the parents that are there, and they're from all walks of life, different colors, different places from around the world. And I thought about it. I said, you know what's in common here? It's parental privilege. Is these kids have good parents that care about their kids and make sure that the kids are getting decent grades and are going on to do these things. You know, Elizabeth Warren just suggested another multi-trillion-dollar package to fix schools. It's a real story. The amount of money, the trillions of dollars we spent on K-12 education since the Great Society programs, it has improved nothing. You can't. You can throw unlimited amounts of money at schools, but if the parents don't care, if you've got broken households where there's not two parents within a house, it's part of the problem.
Hey, turn that down just a little bit, Todd. There's the music at the end of the interview. Chris, it is a pleasure to meet you. Please tell people where they can listen to your podcast. If they have questions about investing, they can get a hold of you.
All sorts of great stuff on my website, everything, my newsletter, my radio show, podcast, everything, watchdogonwallstreet.com. And all the questions, my columns, all sorts of stuff archived back decades. Take advantage of everything that's there. Lots of great stuff, watchdogonwallstreet.com.
Well, absolute pleasure. Very nice to meet you. Godspeed. God keep you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. See ya. All right there, ladies and gentlemen. Lauren from Ohio is going to be here tomorrow. So I know I've had questions about her. Where'd she go? She's going to be here tomorrow. There you go. Have a great evening. Remember, happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. PowerHour.com. See you tomorrow.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.